Tomo ya tomo ya tomo tomo ya tomo ya tomo tomo ya tomo ya tomo tomo ya tomo ya tomo.
Oh, that was really good. You did it. I bet you can't do it any faster than that, though.
Fuck no.
You're not even gonna try.
What is it? Tomo ya tomo ya tomo.
Tomo ya tomo ya tomo tomo ya tomo ya tomo.
Tomo ya tomo ya tomo tomo ya tomo ya tomo tomo tomo. Ah, impossible.
Welcome to the Tomo podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Aspidey, and joining me today, once again, we have Karafi and Mog Oscar and Pepe. Punchy, 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 punchy.
Yay!
Punchy.
Yo! Yay.
And here we are, with the best arc of the game, so far, at least. Tomo's arc,
I can agree with that.
It's been kind of rejuvenating to me, because, like,
so far.
The first two arcs were very... They were very baseline. Like, there wasn't anything that really made them stand out to me. But this arc kind of blew me away. I feel like this might be one of my favorite arcs in Key's history, to be honest. It takes the best of stuff like Shiori's route, and stuff like Kotomi's route, and it's got the whole, like, it feels very distance from the rest of the story because of how it takes place in this enclosed environment, which is really cool for atmosphere building, and just it's just really good. I'm gonna spend a whole podcast talking about why it's good, but yeah, I really liked
it. Then
what do you guys think of the arc?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it's definitely not like the previous arc where it didn't have much special things going on for it. There were definitely things I liked. There were also things that I didn't like too much. All in all, I thought it was a solid route.
I gave it a 5, so that should already tell you how I think of the arc, but I really, really like it. It hits all the good, items.
It didn't hit me that strongly. Because both you, Carafian, and Sparty seem to like it quite a lot, so it must have hit you pretty strongly. But for me, not so much, I guess. I can't explain why, though.
Well, about me, I don't know if I'd put it as high as you did. Both of you, Carafian and Sparty. But I also gave it a 5, but it's one of these routes that I'd give them a 5 because they're good, but they didn't strike me as hard as others that from other keys.
Oh no, definitely. Like,
I guess I'm
final
in the same
arcs like After Story and Refrain are still quite a ways above it, but I still really like the arc.
Of course, Tomoya After Wise is the best one so far. No problem. Well, you can't even compare to the previous two ones, which lacked a bit of ambition. From my point of view,
I feel like this.
I guess I can see that. They're not very unique in that sense.
I feel like this arc had plenty of ambition. It kind of went in some very different places that I've never seen Key gone before. Like, we're getting way too carried away. It's time for the 30-second recap, people!
Hey, hey!
Hey.
Okay. Brought to you today by Moga Oscar.
Let's see how this turns out. Right. Okay, so Tomoya receives a sudden picture of Tomo's mother being a bitch as usual. However, Tomoya isn't satisfied. He wants to track her down, and hence begins the first episode from Detective Tomo. Elementary, my dear Watson. Tomo's mother lives in Frickstown, Japan. The whole crew leaves to check the town out while they leave Takafumi alone with Tomo. They then learn that Tomo's mother contracted KH, but Tomoya decides that leaving Tomo in Frickstown is the best idea ever. He begins to build a school out of nowhere. Kanako normalizes the freaks. They enslave a raging bear, and everyone does their job. Despite almost dying in the process, Tomoya gets rid of the kid. Also, Tomo and the bear make a promise or something.
You're 10 seconds over, dude.
You got buzzed up. Damn.
It was over 30 seconds, but...
that was a good pretty one. Well, yeah.
But bit off too much. Bit off too much that you could 40, chew.
Perhaps.
Is that 40 seconds? But that was really good though. Kudos. That's one thing I keep seeing brought up is that people don't like that Yuko's illness wasn't named. And I think that's stupid. Quite bluntly.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a weird thing to get hung up about. because like we've stated, it's an incurable illness. Knowing its name will not add anything to the story. It's just like, if anything, adding a name to something, it invites the possibility that it can be cured. Once you can identify it, then you can break down the steps taken to resolve that. But that's not what it's trying to accomplish here. It's just, yeah, like, I don't think not having the name, like, takes away any realism. It's just a choice they made. And I feel like even keeping it unknown, like, kind of makes it more intimidating, like, in a way.
Well, I think it's a valid criticism that it not being named is a problem, even if I personally don't agree with it, because sometimes you want your stories to be as relatable as possible. Like, having a random illness who we don't even know the specifics of is... I don't know how many people can actually relate to it.
I don't think it's a problem with relating to the story itself. I think it's more about giving more profundity to the whole atmosphere to build up the story, because it's true that maybe adding a name won't add a lot, but it won't also subtract anything from what already is.
No,
so
it can.
If it's something incurable, you might as well name it as something incurable. What do you mean?
Because then you have to apply then you're inviting the readers to do research on the illness, and then, like, they can come up with all sorts of different interpretations and stuff. Like, it can be unwelcome in a story like this, where people are trying to figure out the specifics of an illness that the story is quite clearly stated in simple terms that will not be solved. You know what I mean? It detracts attention away from the main point, which is that she's going to die.
I think I can understand people saying that not naming the illness might have tracked away from the realism of the story. But I think in this specific situation, it works well, because the characters themselves never even learn of the name of the illness, because both the caretaker and Tomo's mother are hesitant to say the actual name. And it's not like canon with Shiori's illness, where she actually says it to Yuichi and he just says, oh, it sounds very long. Whereas here, you can see how Tomo's mother is subscribed to giving up. Mm-hmm. So the reason why she doesn't tell her illness to Tomoya and everyone else is because she has given up. She's like, it doesn't matter that if I tell you guys anymore. Mm-hmm. So it connects fairly well with the story, I'd say.
That is a good point.
Okay, I've changed my mind and moved better.
Okay. Okay, but that aside, just this whole arc, like, I don't know where to start. There's so much I loved about it, to be honest. I like the way that it builds up from everything previous. Like, it really felt like the entire story was building up to this point. Which is odd, because it's not the final arc, but anyway. the way that Tomoya is building up his strength and, like, his confidence and his work, too, like, played a lot into this resolution. It's clearly been established that Tomoya has a very specific set of skills that ended up being instrumental to his plan, and... we're going further into all of the details of, like, the importance of family and that kind of thing. And... I'm losing my train of thought.
What? Damn it, Aspie.
I guess on that point, I can bring up that I think this arc was meant to give you the impression that it's the final arc. Like, that it was gonna be the climax of the story. And everything that we've previously built up is relevant. I think that's what they were going for. Because, there is not really much anything setting up for a continuation of the story at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was...
And
I was
someone
totally
who's just getting into the game is not gonna know that the story goes on.
My thought playing this was like, oh, so Takafumi's gonna become the teacher. That made the most sense to me.
What? Why? Why did you think that?
Because that's the whole point at the end of the arc. It's like...
that's typing?
Yeah, the typing part. And Takafumi will become the teacher.
Turns out he doesn't.
No one. Yeah. Okay. I thought there was going to be no teacher in the end.
I definitely did not get that vibe, despite typing at the end.
Ew. Well, that's what I thought, and I was wrong. That would have tied in very nicely.
All yeah, right.
But yeah.
It would be pretty interesting, yeah. Well, yeah, it's pretty good that they connect everything from the past arc. Like, it's very believable that Tomoya wouldn't be able to, like, go for building the school if he hadn't beat up those thugs and if he hadn't beaten Takafumi at typing and helped him regain his whatever.
But it's not just... It's not
peace of mind.
It's not just Tomoya.
Yeah,
it's
peace of mind. There
Kaneko and Tomoya... also had, like, all of their development kind of amounted into what happened in this arc. Where Kaneko, being such... Well, she's still a bit of a parasite, I guess, but she's kind of, like, regained this sense of optimism through being with Tomoko.
She just wants ice cream.
yeah, and...
Everyone likes having her around.
Yeah, and Tomoko...
Yeah.
Tomoya actually is...
All right, Tomoya.
She has, like, her own sort of little arc in this story where she actually...
Yeah, she does.
She has an argument with Tomoya, which is so amazing to me. Like, I feel like this doesn't happen nearly enough in key stories where characters actually argue and have differences of opinion. And, you know, that's a thing. Like, that shouldn't be as rare as it is. But usually it's just like, oh, there's a misunderstanding or... Yeah, but this is
and then this leads up to how Tomoya overcomes this, having to cope with others' opinions when they differ from hers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's like.
And I am so glad that they brought this up because this was one of my biggest gripes with Tomoya in her route in Clannad.
Yeah.
She in her route back in Clannad, she simply subscribed to the fact that, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Like, despite everything she was doing, interfering with her student council responsibility, she herself did not realize that she was in the wrong. And it's happening again. Her headstrong personality is telling her that, we shouldn't let Tomo go back to her mother. And she eventually realizes what should be done, what is right, and she realizes that, hey, sometimes you're actually wrong, and you should look at things from another side of the coin.
It's such a big deal, isn't it?
I personally disagree a bit, because I don't think she's really that headstrong in this arc. She does accept that Tomoya has a different opinion, and she doesn't try to force her own.
Oh, yes, she does. She's, like, very keen to get out of the town and just get Tomo. I'll get back to Tomo, yeah.
She's keen to get out of the town, but we should get out of the town.
Stand in Tomoya's way directly.
She does at one point.
She tries to convince him otherwise, but she accepts.
Very aggressively.
But see, okay, at this point, how else, like... assuming Tomoya has good self-control, how else would she have been able to stop him?
By convincing him, not that she would have been able to.
Exactly. Assuming she can convince him at the point where you get a bad end. Fucking rewrite spoilers on Twitter. I'm gonna close. I'm sorry. Anyway, why did I keep Twitter open?
Yeah.
All right.
Helios Alpha brings up a good point. She could have probably just knocked them all out and carried them back.
She could have, but that even she realizes that is a bitchy thing to. That is not a good thing to do.
Well, she nearly kills Kaneko.
But anyway,
I mean.
It's fucking scary, by the way.
My big problem with your assertion is that Tomoya also didn't really do anything to convince Tomoyo. She doesn't realize why she's wrong. Even up until the end, where she then eventually does end up helping out, she more or less comes to terms with it herself and Tomoya never really explains to her.
Wait. Tomoya helped out?
On the whole.
What?
I thought.
Oh, yeah. What? What?
I thought it was a bear. Are you saying the bear was Tomoya all along?
No, it was a bear!
What?
Didn't you hear? Bears are often around at this time of year. And sometimes they may appear. And randomly and decide sometimes to help, people build, a school.
Well, yeah, okay. Anyway, thank you for protecting my nipple.
Putting that aside, well, you're right. It is. This is. Their argument does stem from misunderstanding. Like, maybe Tomoya would be able to convince Tomoya faster? I personally believe it would be very hard to convince Tomoya. And then maybe Tomoya would have been able to convince Tomoya. Well, I guess she does convince him by, you know, having sex with him, but anyway.
I don't think that was a misunderstanding.
I think
the true issue here is that they have very different opinions, and they know what the other thinks and why they think it, but they can't accept that opinion. So they're at a point where they can't do anything to do the same thing. So what they should do is, or what they should have done is just step aside from the other one and leave the other one try to do what they want. And let's see, I mean, Tomoyo thought that Tomoya's idea of building the school and everything wasn't going to lead up to nothing. So she should let him finish or try to finish it and then see it as a failure or as a success and accept the outcome. But instead, she was pushing Tomoya quite a bit. So I think it was more of an argument that they had a bit, I don't know, maybe it wasn't as necessary because it wasn't going to lead up to anything.
I can kind of see Tomoya breaking up with Tomoya if that continued.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, the problem was going to be solved at some point and they would all return home, either with Tomo or without Tomo. But that's it.
Eventually, like, even if they don't, even if like Tomoyo doesn't accept Tomoya's like idea, I think she'd eventually, you know, start talking to him again, and they'll just be swept under the rug, maybe.
Yeah, I think they love each other too much to break up over that.
Yeah.
Well, when was it that... Oh, I can't remember exactly the scene, but Kanako took something from Tomoyo or something like that. Her wallet, was it? Yeah, and then she gave it Tomoya, and Tomoya was going to kick Tomoya or something, but when she saw him, she instantly stopped. And I think
she
that's
was
why.
Going to attack Kanako.
Yeah,
but then when Kanako gave the wallet to Tomoya, she didn't even consider kicking Tomoya. She instantly stopped.
Yeah, that is.
Wasn't Tomoya planning to go back, like to leave the village?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure if they didn't stop her, she would take Tomo away with her somewhere.
I don't think she would have actually.
I think she might have.
I wouldn't put it past Tomoya, basically.
I wouldn't put it past Tomoya. Yeah.
Anyway, there's this perfect conflict of ideals here where Tomoyo, interestingly enough, being the instigator of this whole event and being the source of, like, hope for everybody, she kind of, like, she's the first to accept that maybe this isn't going to have a happy ending, and she just wants to remove Tomo from the situation and protect her. Because, like, I guess it's sort of like her motherly sort of... I don't want to say instinct, because that's a terrible stereotype. But just the whole, like, her motherly interests would, like, put Tomo's happiness first. And she doesn't want Tomo to go through that experience. Whereas Tomoya has the ideal that Tomo, despite her age, she needs to be able to confront this and, you know, be able to seek out the happiness of her mother that she desperately craves while she still can. And
yeah.
there's no misunderstanding here. They both know where the other stands and they both disagree on it very strongly. It's only when Tomoya is able to create hope in this hopeless environment that Tomoya starts to come around to the idea that maybe this won't be so bad. Because the whole, like, biggest point in this argument is that Tomo wouldn't be happy here. This isn't a place for children. And Kaneko and Tomoya kind of swish that around. I don't think Tomoya on his own would have been able to accomplish that. It was definitely because Kaneko was able to break up the monotony of everyone's daily life in this dreary place that got things moving. And could we just talk about how interesting this concept is of a town where people just go to die, basically? I really don't know anything about the real-life significance of this, but would it be safe to say that there are places like this in Japan and the greater world, I guess?
No idea.
I don't know any, but yeah, there probably are.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, like, remote locations that are kind of, like, disconnected from society, it seems like the perfect place if you just want to, like, drop off the radar. And, like, yeah, because, like, nobody comes and goes from that village, so everyone's completely, like, antisocial almost. And, like, yeah, I can kind of imagine it. I'd have to do some research on this topic, but I feel like this is definitely a thing that really exists. And that's such a sad thought to me. Tamaki's Mayoiga, but good. Yes, Helios. I actually had that thought when I was reading. but, yeah, like... Yeah, they're like a sort of like isolated village. It's so sad. It's so depressing going into this place. It feels like we've gone from a key visual novel to something much worse. Not worse, something much more grim. And yeah, it's...
Well, it's definitely a realistic part of the world. It's something that we have to accept. That there are people who think like this. And there are people who just don't want to believe in hope anymore. And it's amazing how Kaneko is able to... give that hope to them. Well, I wouldn't say that Kaneko herself is able to give that hope to them. It's just that I think it's more of the school is what gives the hope to them.
And
Kaneko just gives them their motivation.
I think it's a mix of both.
I think it's Kaneko being Kaneko.
Just Kaneko being Kaneko without the school being there. They wouldn't regain their hope in living. They just, you know, have fun a bit.
Now let's talk about this a little bit more. Kaneko giving everybody hope. Now, the thing about this is, when they talk about it with Kaneko, Kaneko is just like, huh, did I do something? And, like, Tomoya's like, yeah, you actually did quite a lot, and she just doesn't get it. Like, she's just being herself. And that is so interesting to me. But it really makes me think to this thing the caretaker said. Oh, she was a great character, by the way. Caretaker, she didn't even get a name, but I already, like...
Caretaker.
Yeah, just, I'm glad they gave her a sprite, Jesus. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Kaneko, yeah. Just the fact that she's able to inspire all this hope in people, like, you'd think that wouldn't be something she can do, but it goes back to what the caretaker said about how, like, these are people that have given up on life because they couldn't cope with society for one reason or another. But it's also that it's not that there's a... It's like... What'd they say? It was something to do with, like, how breaking up the boredom of everyday life is enough to give people, like, something to be happy about. I can't remember the exact quote.
I normally when I read these Vians, I tend to relate what happens in the Vian to Japanese society. And I think what happens here is that something in Japanese, well, with the Japanese, that they don't normally address each other if they don't have anything specific that they want, or they need to do something.
Objection.
Yeah. Okay.
That's only in Tokyo.
Okay.
And big city.
Well, this is still close to Tokyo, we'd assume. Then, I don't know.
Anyway, I'll suppose. People from Tokyo are this way. So then, when this town is made of people who wouldn't interact to each other if they don't have anything to do, and if they have a bad life and they are a bit socially awkward and don't want to talk to anyone, no one's going to talk to them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when Kanako ends up there and Kanako actively tries to get in touch with them, it's when this barrier is broken and they re-engage in society.
Yes, I agree. That's basically what I was getting at. It's kind of like how they've forgotten how to live. And that's not that might not even have anything to do with the fact that they've given up on life, but they have forgotten what it means to live. And I feel like just interacting with other people and laughing and like smiling, just having that sort of like normal existence again, even if it's for a brief moment, I feel like that really like spoke to the people and kind of like made them think back to better times. And that's kind of where this whole thing about how they gained the motivation to help Tomoyo build the school is because they remembered what it was like to be alive.
And making ice cream. Don't forget making ice cream. That is a big, big part of being alive.
Yeah, I don't think actually, it's that they forgot what it means to live. It's more that they are, could I say, afraid of life, of the unpredictability of life. But then Kanako comes along and shows them the fun side of the unpredictability of life by bringing up completely out of nowhere, bringing up that she wants to make ice cream, and they're just like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this girl saying? And it's funny.
It is really funny. It
brings them a spark of joy. And
what the fuck is she
that's
playing?
That's when they realize ice cream that too. Their lives have been gray ever since they came there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's hard to really peg like what gives them motivation. Like how Kanako gives them motivation. Like I myself have just made my own theory where like, oh, because she needs someone to make her ice cream, she's giving them a purpose, which is making ice cream and then making the school. And it's really hard to peg. I think maybe these motivations, like all of our theories, none of them work for every single person. I think like my theory works for one person in the village, Espy's, Mogowska's theory works for another, Carafian's works for another. And
yeah,
it's just interesting how it ends up working in the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not the point. That's definitely not the point of this arc. But it's also believable. I think it's believable.
I think it's a big
and
point.
People who say it's not believable is, well, I don't get why they'd say it's not believable.
I think it's believable. You just need to look at stuff like go to an old folks home and like you just bring like a young person, then they're the center of attention and like they can really like build up the mood. Just think back to Kimari's route, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know that kind
everyone,
of thing.
Everyone singing, playing games.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone young's there.
Yeah. It's very similar. And I feel like this is something that isn't too far-fetched. Like, these aren't people that want to destroy the world or anything. They're just people that are, you know, they've had a hard life and they're trying to just deal with that in their own way.
Yep.
They're not antagonistic or anything, like Kanako first suspected when they entered the village.
I need to bring up how Tomoyo at first has like this completely bad image of Tomo's mom. She thinks that her abandoning Tomo was just selfish, and she doesn't even think to question that up until Yuku just outright states, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
And then she's on the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, holy shit, well now.
She's not one to question her assumptions much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fucking...
Which
she's also, in a way, she's also headstrong.
That has to do with Tomoyo being a bit unstable.
We've got to mention, Kanako is the one that mentioned building a school in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That was just a crazy suggestion.
She's a secret protagonist.
Yeah. She moves everything along.
I feel that more than ever now.
Because of Tomoya's experiences with the other routes, I think it connects fairly well. Like, he wouldn't have thought to build the school if he hadn't done that. And I guess it's safe to say that it doesn't actually, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a school. It just has to be a place where Tomo can, you know, continue her life.
Mm-hmm. And more than anything, it wasn't building the school that was important. It was giving people hope. And that's the biggest thing that Tomoya was trying to create through this endeavor. And through that hope, he was able to get people to help him build a school, which isn't that nice how that worked out. Yeah, it's really powerful stuff.
It's everything that happens in this route is well connected, and it's also well connected to the rest of the story, which makes it very solid.
Like, people say that the whole building the school thing was like all too unrealistic, and like, you can't do that. That's silly. But then it's like, we had this whole point of Tomoya has spent this entire game doing otherwise impossible things, and it's overcoming those barriers which we call impossibility to, as Shia LaBeouf would put it, just do it.
To be honest, it's not that hard to build a school, especially since they have a building already.
Yeah.
You just have to clean it up, make sure everything's working. Tomoya has experience in electronics because of his job and other mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure even if the villagers didn't help him, he would have finished it sooner or later.
But later rather than sooner.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The fact that he has a job to go back to is the biggest obstacle there.
Well, another real MVP, Tomoya's boss, who gave him that extended leave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Did he even
ask?
He's
a cool boss. He didn't write. Well, I guess this is very important to you, so go ahead. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy. They said at the, I think it was at the beginning or maybe the prologue, that both Bose and Tomoya were quite alike, and they knew each other pretty well because they were more or less like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he understands the position he was in.
Yeah, I think Tomoya has more improved himself to his boss, and it's just like sort of an acknowledgement of that. So it's really nice.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the caretaker a bit? Yeah, I don't know what to say, but she's really interesting to me. Like, the whole fact that, like, she's kind of there when no one else is, and she has this very odd, offbeat sort of, like, energy to her. When everyone else is, like, sort of devoid of energy, she's the only one in the village which kind of is able to smile. Even if it's a very shallow smile. Like, I can tell, like, it's not the smile of someone who's genuinely content and happy with their life. It's more of, maybe she is content, but I wouldn't call that happiness. It's very like she's kind of accepted her lot in life, and
I think she's content with taking care of these people.
I'm sure, but like she found her own purpose in taking care of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And while she may have her own problems, I don't think she's at the level or even close to the level of those people there.
Yeah. But it would definitely, like, be quite an interesting life to lead, just to be surrounded with that sort of hopelessness all the time and have to put on a strong front.
And you could say the same about the nurses and maybe doctors
that
who have
true.
To face death every day.
That is true, you know. I really...
They are also caretakers.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. It's a very you kind of have to be born into that, I feel. There's just certain people that have that kind of aptitude. I definitely couldn't do it. There's no way. But I have immense respect for people
right
that can.
Also, now that I remember, wasn't she really close to denying Tomoya building the school or something like that?
Yeah, she did try to stop him at first.
I think she meant. No, and then later on, she tells Tomoya, well, I was going to make you stop for once, but in the end, she doesn't. What was it?
Yeah, she was convinced.
I think she has something to show you.
She wants to convince him to stop, but realizes, I can't convince this guy.
Yeah. She's smarter than Tomoya.
Hmm. And maybe she sees the benefit that it could bring as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Though,
but I definitely have to say I like her monologue when she tells Tomoya how the village has brightened up when Kanako came around. Because it's so easy to understand how that would have been like, what the hell just happened to this village in her eyes.
And Tomoya repairing everything was also a catalyst as well. The only one that didn't contribute to this was Tomoya, and like all the villagers were like, they didn't even think that she was Tamaya's girlfriend. Or just like, she's just...
No.
And then like, Tamaya has to go out of his way to say, no, she's actually an amazing person. Don't talk shit about my girlfriend. Which was really cute.
Yeah, unlike the bear who actually helped.
Yeah, the bear's a real MVP of this route.
A bear. Yeah. Oh, by the way, about the caretaker, if you choose the bad end, like if you don't build the school or if you bring someone else along, the caretaker ends up just using Tomoya's skill to fix stuff around the village.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny how she has the ability to like, to jokingly use him. Like, yeah. She says stuff like, oh, well, you're getting free food anyway, so you might as well help.
Yeah.
Kind of what she said.
Yeah.
So, I'm confident. She is a bit sly, which makes her a cool character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident in saying that she's not really broken. She just works well with this situation, thankfully.
Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to bring up was Tomoya had his own little character moment in this route, which is when he realizes that he can now accept his dad
as
he is now. Do you think that was organic, or do you think that came out of nowhere?
It's kind of like they don't want to go over the same stuff that was covered in After Story, because that'd just be redundant.
True.
Yeah.
I feel like it's believable that this development could have happened off screen, but it's also surprising. I don't know, like, because it took so much for him to reach that point with Nagisa in After Story. But here it's more like it kind of happened as a result of his own struggles with Tomo. And like, I guess he came to realize the value of family and how like family isn't this perfect thing, that it can be like broken, but there can still be beauty in it, sort of idea. And I feel like he might have even seen some of his dad in Yuko as well, which would have helped.
I'm sure that
everyone was trying to talk at once.
Oh. Okay, yeah.
Okay. Pepe, you go.
I think that
Tomoya, as long as he experiences working with children, well, this time working with Tomo, and then in After Story being with Ushio. Even in the... Am I allowed to talk about After Story spoilers?
I don't think so.
Yes, you are. Yes? I'll permit it.
Okay. Even in the timeline where he saves Nagisa, he eventually does reconcile with his father. And I think it's simply because he experiences what it means to be a father. And
yeah, exactly.
Or to be a parent. And just that simple realization is enough for him to realize that, oh, I'm being a little shit, aren't I?
That's what I wanted to bring up as well. I don't think Tomoya sees his father in Yuko. I think he sees his father in himself.
There we go.
That's it. But even then, I don't feel it's something really important. I mean, it's more of a flash thought that he had at a given time. And I don't think it left a mark. So as time progresses, I don't know if he'll remember about that thought. Or when he has to confront his dad, or rather than confront, try to visit him or whatever. I don't know if he'll feel the same way.
Let's talk about the bad ending. So, the bad ending where Tomoya succumbs to his weakness.
His carnal
desire. Yeah, I think one of the ways is a bad ending. It's the one that gets you the H scene, though. It's the one that completes the gallery, at least in the steamy version.
The steamy version.
Yeah, it's the steamy version. Anyway, I think this is just an example of how Tomoyo could have convinced Tomoya to, you know, go against what he's doing.
I mean, the irony in that scene is that she doesn't even convince him, like, directly after they have sex. He's like, well, actually, that was something different. And Tomoyo is, like, shocked, as if she misunderstood something. Yeah. But then eventually, she realizes that she can keep Tomoya from doing what he's doing. And it goes down. it goes to shit, basically.
That made me so angry at everybody and everything.
I think that was the intent.
Yeah.
It's supposed to make you angry, because that's not how things should be.
It's also out of character.
But sometimes people are weak.
For Tamoya.
Is it? Is it?
Oh, well, we did establish that he's a pervert, so...
Yes, that's exactly...
That's what Tomoyo's playing at.
I think it would be more in character if we played the prologue that was filled with H scenes.
Yeah. Makes you think.
Anyway.
Yeah. I brought up on the forum how I think that was actually a meta jab at the readers that expected this game to be more sex scene heavy. And then, like, you go through three arcs and there's not even a single sex scene. Like, what the shit? And then you have the opportunity to bring about a sex scene right when the story gets heavy, and you can do it, but the story falls apart as a result.
I think this is Key's way of just saying, oh, you guys want sex scenes, eh? All right.
Yeah, I think this is like someone
don't expect a story.
Take it and eat it too.
I can see this like Baba just coming up to Maeda and being like, hey, you know, Clannad, we want a sex version. And he just like draws a very deep sigh and he's like, okay. And this is what happened.
I think the same thing happened with Little Busters, because from what I know from
Yeah, Ecstasy, it's exactly the same thing, isn't it? Oh, wow. I'm convinced now. Like, at first I thought it might have been a coincidence, but now I'm convinced. Like,
no.
Maeda, he's fucking with the readers. that's actually, like, that's the best way to use H scenes, in my opinion. It actually adds a lot to the story when you, like, actually feel genuine remorse for taking things off the rails like that, just for the sake of getting them sex scenes. It's like you ruined everything, Tomoya. Good job.
I think it's pretty clever.
There's an exception to that, though. One game.
Oh, yes.
One game?
Oh, wait, what are you talking about?
Gyuto.
Oh, God.
Well, like, what about, like, Canon and Air are a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's not turn this into an H scene discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
We have a forum topic for
that. I feel like at least for Maeda, I think this is very indicative of his tastes. Yeah.
I guess I'd agree with you, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Helios. I gave you bad memories.
Poor guy's traumatized now.
Anyway, continuing on. So, did you want to talk more about the bad ending, or?
Well, not in particular.
Just that I can, like, it's very sad, but I can also kind of accept, like, if you take out the sex part, I can kind of accept what happened. It's just like, you know, they're going to continue living with Tomo, and like they'll probably find a happiness through that. You know, it's not the worst ending in the world.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's just a little bit.
It's actually good.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the bad part?
It's good in a way, but there are also the slightly darker sides to it. Like, yes, they will probably find a happiness, but succumbing to their weakness here kind of also saps their willpower when it comes to other things, because we can see this in Tomoyo giving up school. Like, she just like, school, I don't need that anymore. And that to me was kind of hard to see, because she went through all the trouble of staying in school so she could be with Tomoya back in the Clannad arc, and then she just gives it up.
But I guess everyone can go.
What I see is that even though people are not going to be perfect, there's not going to be all the character development. Even then, if they are happy, that's what counts, regardless of whatever else comes with it.
But they're happy, but they could be happier.
Which is going back to what we said last time.
It's happy. Everyone knows it's happy, but you can see it's wrong, right?
Yeah, we don't get closure.
I think nobody.
I think the shitty music kind of drills it in that you made a bad choice.
Yeah.
If it was happy music, it would be completely different.
Exactly. I don't agree, but okay.
No, seriously. No. Like, I'd change the soundtrack of that ending, and it'll be like a good ending.
you don't get credits. You don't get a voiced version. You don't get anything.
Assuming you put happy BGMs and then you put a credit sequence after that bad ending, will it still be bad?
Yeah,
I'd still feel bad. I'd still definitely feel bad because I would call that a shit route.
Yeah, probably.
I wouldn't because, I mean, if I was Tomoya, I would say, screw it, let's take Tomo home. I mean, yeah. that's the way I read it. So, for me, that's a good ending.
That brings up an actual discussion point that I wanted to bring up and I almost forgot to bring up. Was it right? Was Tomoya... Well, we know that Tomoya was right in thinking that Tomo should go back to her mother. But if you were in his shoes, would you think the same way?
I don't think I would.
Would you think that Tomo should go back to her mom?
I don't think
and
I
if
would.
You do, why?
I was reading that, I think I would,
but I wouldn't have the willpower to go through with it.
Yeah, like, when I was reading it, I was actually siding with Tomoya, and I was like, I think you're being a little bit crazy here, Tomoya. Like, isn't it unreasonable to want to send Tomo to this, like, such depressing place? But he proved me wrong by the end. And if I was in his shoes, I probably would have made the bad choice, I guess.
The bad choice meaning having sex with Tomoya?
No. it would have mean not building the school
Don't
in the
deny
first
it,
place.
Aspie. All right.
That's how I got the bad ending first. I just didn't build the school.
What about you guys?
I also think that she should stay with her mother, but just I don't think she should stay in that town in those circumstances, regardless of the school. And even the thing with the school, I would have discarded it because it's not building the school. The issues come later. I mean, there's regulations they have to pass. They need a proper teacher. She's going to need friends of her age, too. It's many things. It's not just making a building. I think that doesn't cover up the problem here.
So you think it wasn't a good ending?
I mean, I think it's a relatively good ending because, well, after all, Tomo is happy. So, yeah, let's go with it. But I don't think she should stay there. I don't think it would be good for her on the long term. Like, relation-wise with her mother, totally. But for the rest, no.
I think it's fine to live that way.
That's a valid opinion. I mean, like, it also, we don't know how long it's going to be for. For all we know, she could only have, like, 12 months left to live. And in that case, it would probably go back to either Tomoya's family or Tomoya and Tomoya taking care of her again, if they can obtain custody.
I think, regardless of, like, how long Tomo's mom has to live, being an idealistic person, I think in Tomoya's shoes, I would think the same way. I would think that it's the right thing for Tomo to go back to her mom. And it's not simply because they're family, but I have multiple reasons for thinking it's the right thing. Reason number one is because I believe that's what Tomo wants, simply just basing on her reactions to her mom, like whenever she meets her mom. I'm convinced that that's what Tomo wants, and I shouldn't bring Tomo away from her own happiness. She may be a child, and she may not know what's right and what's wrong, but that's what makes her happy. And second, I also think that it's wrong for Tomo's mother to just simply throw her child away. So I think that Tomo's mother should take that effort to, you know, spend her last days with her child. And lastly, I also think it's wrong for Tomoya and Tomoyo to keep that child because they're not at the point in life where they're ready to, raise a child.
Yes.
This is something that they just accepted on a whim, and it's not a very, ideally children are something that is planned, so That's not something they planned.
And I really like how they drew attention to the fact that Tomoyo is being selfish about this. And she just, there is a part of Tomoyo in there which just wants to keep Tomo. And she can't deny that. And I'm really glad that they drew attention to that, because it's such a psychological issue of like, the sort of idea of this idolization of parental love, but then thinking maybe there is a certain aspect of selfishness to that, and I just want to be with the object of my affection. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Although,
it's surely a part of it.
It is. She's hiding it behind the excuse of I don't want Tomo to be sad. I just want her to be happy.
She does also genuinely feel that it might not be the best for Tomo to stay with her mother.
I'm not denying that. I'm just
selfishness
saying more
is
to it.
Just a part of the equation, is what I wanted to say.
Yes,
and I think think anybody is disagreeing on that.
Well, anyway, it's interesting how we all have different views on this. It is a very controversial topic, and we can see that both Tomoya and Tomoyo disagree on it, and I think we as people would also disagree on it because you all have different experiences.
But even Tomoyo came around eventually.
Did she?
It was the bear, sorry.
I need to bring this up.
When did Tomoyo
seriously come around on the idea?
I think it was when Tomo said that she really wanted to be with her.
Yes, I know.
At the very end.
I can answer. It's when Tomoyo hit his head and nearly died, which is very interesting parallel to Takafumi in Tomoyo's route. Where just when you realize something's nearly gone, you suddenly start to treasure it a bit more. And just like, I don't know, like it's kind of a weird thing that her opinion would be swayed by something like that, but it also kind of makes sense. Like when you're driven into that situation, you kind of start to, your thinking can change a bit. Like a shock to the system.
I don't agree, really. She pointed out herself. At that point, she's just like, well, all I can really think about right now is you, Tomoya. And she leaves the matter behind for the time being. And I think the reason she helps out eventually is because...
for everything to end.
Because she wants to help Tomoya more than anything. Right. Because she realizes that Tomoya is just that precious to her, and if he says it, she wants to support it. I think it takes her a longer than that to come around on the idea. I think it's not until Tomo arrives at the village that she does realize that it was a good idea after all.
Yeah, maybe. Because we do have that whole scene at the end with, like, the flower wreath and kind of... But she was preparing that flower wreath for a few days before then, so she must have had some idea.
She wanted to send her off because she knew she couldn't change things anymore.
Yeah. At that point.
I think Tomoya even points that out to her directly. I am fine, so now the problem is you. It's a bit harshly worded, but I think that's when Tomoyo started actually questioning her stance. And that is a bit after Tomoya got into his accident.
Yeah, but then...
Okay, you go first.
No, you go.
Also, Tomoya then comes... to where the school is being built and is amazed at the progress at which it's going. But then he also monologues that if it was Tomoyo, it would have gone even better.
Well, because she's...
She has a point?
No, I think it's being insecure.
No, well, I think it would have gone better simply because she's more physically capable.
Yeah.
That's not what
she can lift more. She has more endurance. I think it's a very literal thing that he's saying.
I don't think that's what he means. I think he's still looking up to Tomoyo and thinking that if she had set her mind to doing that, she would have done it no problem. and not because of physical strength.
If Tomoyo did it her way, she would still... Like, how would she be able to make it in a better way?
I think it just goes to show that Tomoya is still insecure and still puts Tomoyo on a pedestal.
I agree.
I'm with Pepe. I don't think it has any meaning behind. I don't think Tomoya still looks up to Tomoyo as much as he did before.
Let's talk about the scene at the very end where Tomo and Tomoyo make a promise that they will become stronger.
Yeah, that was really good.
That was beautiful.
Like, even though Tomo is such a long... Even though Tomo's such a young character, I still feel like she felt like a real person more than ever in this one scene where she very clearly has her own views and her own interests of being with her mother. And it's great that Tomoya has this like sort of idea that Tomo's still hurting even now and that pain won't go away until she's able to be with her mother. And we really do feel that here where she's like so desperate to get back with her mother, even despite everything. And it's just... That way that Tomoya poses the question to her and she has to seriously consider it for a second and she still decides to go and be with her mother. That's such a touching scene.
Yeah.
Powerful. It's a better word. Karafian, you brought up the scene, you didn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
In what ways do you think that Tomoyo say... What do you think Tomoyo meant by that when she said we both need to become stronger? It is what I want to discuss.
Well, I think it's obvious enough in Tomo's case.
Could you repeat your question? Sorry.
When Tomoyo made the promise with Tomo that they would both become stronger, what do you think she meant by that? I mean, Tomoyo is apparently already very strong, and
I mean, well, she realized that she wasn't that strong because she was wrong in this case. So like being stronger, I think here means to be able to go for the right thing even though it's against what she thinks and what she wants.
I think it goes into the whole idea of seeking out happiness despite the pain it will cause. And that's like, Tomoyo is very averse to pain. She wants to protect Tomo from all the pain of the world and make her happy and focus on that. Where Tomoyo is like, no, we need to confront this pain and become stronger from it. And I think that's a lesson that Tomoyo only learned at the very end there, that maybe, yes, maybe I do need to become stronger for my sake and for Tomo's sake as well.
I think this, I totally agree with you, Aspe, but I think this comes from the very ending of Tomoyo's roots in Planet, where she sacrificed or underwent a lot of pain when she wasn't with Tomoya, but she accomplished her goal, and then they came to terms and they went together again and we have Tomoyo after. So I think that she had kind of a trauma with all that and she didn't really talk too much about how she managed to accomplish her goals, protecting the Sakuras and everything. But here it's here in the Tomo arc that she really thinks, okay, that was a hard time, but I accomplished that. And now this might be a hard time for Tomo too, but maybe she'll get to know her mother or the time she has. Maybe she needs that, and I think it will be worth the pain. It's kind of a change in the chip.
She doesn't want to go the easy way of avoiding all pain and stagnating into a lifestyle where... Well, in some ways, a lifestyle similar to the villagers before they came here, where nothing too special ever happens, and it's just...
Yeah, nothing changes, yeah.
Yeah. Nothing special ever happens. And she wants to prevent that from happening. She wants to prevent herself from becoming complacent. She wants the strength to stand up to change.
Mm-hmm. And not be afraid of it.
Not be afraid like she was back then.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much.
Yeah, and now we're at a crossroads here where that little typewriter comes back and kindly tells us that the story is far from over yet. And just like,
it hasn't even begun yet.
Yeah, I'm just like, ha-ha-ha. That's quite a way to end the arc. like you said,
the,
I feel like...
From here, they'll stand a long time at the bottom of the hill.
Like, as you said, if I didn't know this story was split into four different arcs, I would have assumed this was the ending. And then I would have seen that. Mm. And it would have had a lot more impact, so I apologize to people for segregating into arcs for this podcast, this book club. But, yeah, just, that's quite a lot to consider. Like, where do we go from here? Like, really? Like, it's got to be about Tomoyo and Tomoya, I assume, but I don't really know. I haven't read this far, so I'm very excited to see what happens next.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I was partly spoiled at this point, but it ended out in a good way.
The only spoiler I had going into Tomoyo after was that I think I heard something about a school being built. That's the only thing I knew. So I'm already
really?
Past
oh,
that.
Okay. So you're already past that, yeah.
So I don't know what's coming next. I'm a little bit scared because everyone's really built this up.
Coming up is my favorite part of Tomoyo After and quite possibly my favorite ending arc. Well, okay, there's Refrain, but one of my very favorite ending arcs of any visual novel.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited then. I hope I enjoyed it as much as you do then, Caffeine.
Yeah, you are.
I hope so as well.
SP is the only Tomoyo after the only after arc virgin now.
Yeah, I've been keeping. Yeah. I've been making sure not to read it.
I hope you enjoy cool. your first time, SP.
How lewd.
It may hurt the first time, but it won't.
It may hurt the first time.
Jesus.
But yeah. It'll be gentle.
Caffeine sun itching. All right. With that said, I'm going to close this podcast. Shout-outs to our forum members, October Pumpkin, Dungo Daikazuku, Aizen Kobu, Sonic112003, Cloud668, notable for being translator of this part of the game, or at least part of it. It was really good to get him on the forum, especially. And Mog Oscar, of course. So thank you, everybody, for your forum discussion. It's been like a quiet book club, very low-key. But I feel like the discussion we have had has been very worthwhile, so I really appreciate that. So once again, thank you everybody for joining me for this podcast, and I really hope you look forward to the final one. We've got the after arc coming next week. I'm very excited, and I hope you are excited too. So see you then, guys.
See you on the other side.
I'm looking forward to it.
Back then, Aspirity didn't yet realize that he was about to fall into a deep despair. A despair that would become a stepping stone for hope.